to spread the word out about what was coming to Toronto and Huntsville and why people around the world are upset, organizing different events, organizing documentary screenings. One of the most important things that we did was securing funding to get buses in order to go to and from Kitchener-Waterloo each day of the summit. And so we really tried to educate people about what the G8 and G20 are, and we tried to show them different ways that they can become involved if they wanted to. So that's really what I was doing at the end of April, May, and all the way up leading to the event, which began in late June 2010.
And describe your experiences during the week of actions in Toronto.
I came on the Sunday night. The protests themselves began on the Monday, and there were different themed days of resistance from the Monday up to the Friday when the G8 started on June 25th, and then the weekend, the 26th, 27th. You could just feel the city of Toronto was different. I actually walked up along and I could touch the security fence that they had strewn around the downtown core in order to protect the world leaders who were coming. And so immediately I felt the real, almost negative atmosphere. The week of different theme days of resistance saw a tremendous outpouring of community organizing and mobilization from different groups all around Canada. I got to meet a whole bunch of people from all around the country. At the same time, there was real heavy militarized police presence. There was also a festive atmosphere in the city of Toronto. Nearing the end of the week, things started to get a little more intense. At the environmental theme day, the police started to try to take people's flagpoles and placard sticks, for example, which I thought that was pretty strange. Different stories about people being stopped on bikes. For example, this didn't happen to me, but I know many people stopped on bikes for not having a bike light, for example, and getting a ticket. But really, on the Friday, the Justice for Our Communities Day, that's when things really stepped up. That's the day, June 25th, when the police had surrounded Allen Gardens Park. The plan was to rally at Allen Gardens and then try to march to the fence. So I got to the park, the northwest corner of the park. The first thing I saw was a big group of people and a line of police. I had been to numerous Know Your Rights workshops in the lead up to this. I had read different things. And one of the things that we learned is that you don't have to consent to a search and that the police can't search you unless you've been arrested or detained. And so the first thing I saw was the police had surrounded the park and they were searching people's bags and taking people's flagpoles. They made search of everyone's belongings a condition of entry into the park. I was taken aback by this. I was shocked. And so I decided to avoid that, the opening of the park in the northwest. I walked a little bit further into the center of the park and I tried to enter the park. The police approached me, pushed me back and said they needed to look into my bag. I refused. Unbeknownst to me, a videographer, a journalist, started filming about a minute into this interaction with the police. And so there's a video of this event. I just kept maintaining the line that we were told, you know, I kept asking, am I being detained? Am I being arrested? And I kept asking under what authority the police had to search my bag in a public park. I was just trying to go to a demonstration. By this point, there were three police officers. The police informed me that they were using the Trespass to Property Act. And I still maintained that even if it's the Trespass to Property Act, I had to be arrested or detained for my bag to be searched. And so this went on. We kept going back and forth. They didn't tell me I was detained or arrested. And so I decided to walk through the police line, at which point they grabbed me, took my bag off me, searched my bag. I wasn't aware of it until somebody in the crowd says, is there a reason why you're taking his swimming goggles? I had swimming goggles in my bag. And you can see on the video that I say, you're taking my goggles so I can't protect myself when you use chemical weapons, when you use tear gas. They took my goggles. I ended up getting let into the park and I demonstrated. I have subsequently learned through my trial, seeing different pictures, not only were they searching bags, they were searching purses, they were searching baby strollers, they were searching wheelchairs, they were searching coolers, and they were seizing flagpoles, they were seizing sticks for protest signs, they seized bike gloves, they seized drumsticks. We were encouraged to file OIPRD, so that's the Office of Independent Police Review Director, complaint about anything that happened to us at the G20. Other things that happened to me, for example, the next day I was kettled outside of the Eastern Ave Detention Center, and I spent about 18 or 20 hours in that detention center in which I witnessed all different kinds of things. This was one of the complaints. It seemed like what had happened.
And I think here he's referring specifically to the incident getting into Allen Gardens Park.
Was a violation of Section 2 of the Charter, freedom of assembly. Seemed like a definite violation of Section 8 of the Charter, freedom from unlawful search and seizure. And it seemed like a violation of Section 9 of the Charter, freedom from arbitrary detention or imprisonment. My eventual lawyer, Davin Charney, agreed, and we filed a lawsuit asking for the court to look at this under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, but also make a declaration of law that the police cannot surround a public park and that the police cannot make search a condition of entry into a park and then the seizure of what otherwise would be lawful items.
So on the one hand, it's pretty clear that there were lots of things about police behavior in that week that a lot of different people found really troubling, even far beyond radical circles. But on the other hand, the terrain of struggle that you enter into when you're launching a lawsuit doesn't tend to be one that's particularly favorable to movements. So talk in more detail about why you thought it was strategically and politically important to take the struggle into that terrain, into the courts.
My lawyer, this is what he does. He defends people against the police, and he also launches lawsuits against the police who violate people's rights or assault people. So the first reason was I had a lawyer who I trusted and who this is what he does for his career. The second reason is because the violations were so flagrant at the G8 and G20, it seemed like there needed to be some kind of a response in the courts. We can debate if movements can find justice in the courts, but it seemed strategically like the right thing to do, given that many Canadians identify with the Charter. And it seems like if the police have the right to surround a park and search everybody before they come into the park, and then also seize items, we're not talking about guns or knives, we're talking about swimming goggles, bike gloves, flagpoles. It seems like this is the definition of the criminalization of dissent. And if the police can do this, we're not talking about the freedom of speech here. We're talking about, I think, what are even more core fundamental rights. That is the right to be free from unlawful detention or arrest, the right to be free from unlawful search and seizure. These, to me, are even more what define some of the lines drawn between a democracy and a dictatorship. The right to go to a protest without having your bag opened up. And so it seemed like this was the right issue because it potentially affects everybody at any time, whether they want to go to a demonstration or not. And it's not just massive summit demonstrations. It's if you want to protest local environmental injustice or if you want to do basically anything. The police should not have the right to simply say, I want to look in your bag. I learned also that the Trespass to Property Act, for example, has no search power. So under the act itself, the police have no right to search somebody's belongings. The police have their statutory powers for arresting and searching somebody, but they also have their common law powers. And under common law, they have the right for investigative detention. But under that investigative detention power, there has to be a crime ongoing. There has to be a crime which is already taking place. And that person, in order to be detained and searched, needs to be implicated in that crime. So in other words, just going to a protest at Allen Gardens where there was no crime going on seems to be the definition of making dissent a crime. And I know that politically minded people are thinking, you know, this happens every day in Canada on the streets to marginalized and poor communities, racialized communities with carding and street checks. And I agree 100% with that. And that's what I've said since day one, that this happens every day on the streets of Canada. And that's one of the reasons why we need to fight against it. And the courts is just one avenue.
Give listeners a sense of the key features of your experience of the court process.
I launched the lawsuit first in small claims court because that's where my lawyer did most of his litigating. But after I received the OIPRD report in January 2012, which found that the police in my case actually did engage in discreditable conduct and unlawful use of authority. When we got this 30-page report, we decided to move it to the Ontario Superior Court of Justice. That just seemed to give me the backing I needed to continue and actually move to the next stage of the court system. And basically, the whole rest of the story from 2011 until 2018 can be summed up by the legal team for the police basically fighting us at every turn. So when we wanted to go to Superior Court, what would otherwise have been a normal procedure, they fought that. And so what normally might have been a few month process, the police fought us on procedure.